Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hello, everyone. This is Sasha Adi, your host of the PCOS Challenge radio show and also the support and networking site, PCOSChallenge.com. Today, we have a very important show. We're in Heart Month, and the episode is titled PCOS Heart Health Month, Preventing Cardiovascular Disease. This is an extremely important show for women with PCOS, with polycystic ovary syndrome, and their families, because women with PCOS constitute the largest group of women at risk for developing cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. And according to the World Health Organization, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women worldwide. So I am pleased to welcome today's guest, Dr. Mark Perlow, who is a physician, a fertility specialist, and a PCOS advocate. Dr. Perlow is the medical director of Georgia Reproductive Specialists. He has expertise in treating conditions related to infertility, including polycystic ovary syndrome, recurrent pregnancy loss, menstrual disorders, fibroids, male fertility problems, and endocrine and other reproductive health problems. He also has extensive experience in vitro fertilization, the use of donor eggs, donor sperm, and gestational surrogacy. Dr. Perlow is a well-known PCOS advocate and has been on the faculty and a sponsor of the PCOS Challenges PCOS Awareness Symposium in Atlanta for the past 2 years. He also gives multiple talks about the topic throughout the year. So we are very, very excited to welcome you back to the show, Dr. Perlow. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Sasha. I think this is a very important topic to address, and I look forward to our conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start off with a general explanation of cardiovascular disease. What is cardiovascular disease, and how does one develop cardiovascular disease?
Well, I think there are a lot of ways that might go into developing that, but the sine qua non would be blood vessel abnormalities that would restrict blood flow to the brain and to the heart, increasing the risk of stroke or myocardial infarction. We know that women with PCOS are much more likely to have damage on their cardiac vessels later in life when they show up with chest pain in a cath lab. And most of the women with more severe disease when they go through these cardiovascular evaluations are women who've experienced PCOS at other times in their life.
Yeah, so as a younger person, a young woman, adolescent, you hear, oh, you have PCOS, you may be at risk for cardiovascular disease. Some people aren't as daunted by that. I have no idea why, because it's the number one killer of women. But tell us about PCOS specifically. Why are women with PCOS and even their family members at high risk for developing cardiovascular disease?
So I think we have a lot of information that link the two conditions together. The concern is that most of the patients who come into our office have very specific wants and desires. It may be about acne. It may be about weight. It may be about air gain. It may be about fertility. And when we look at this condition, it has different effects at different life stages. So it gives me as a physician an opportunity to look at someone's family history, because there's also a genetic component, and go through the various risks that would affect each stage of life, and then help the patient come up with a plan, not only to get pregnant if that's their desire, but to be healthy and reduce the risk of diabetes and heart disease. And there are very few conditions where we have such clear information and can make such a difference in long-term health as PCOS. So that's kind of exciting. In men, we don't have this early warning system making us aware of the potential for heart disease later on. Women do, but both they have to be willing to explore that, and their physicians have to explore that with them as well.
Yeah, certainly. So let's talk about some of the risk factors. How can women with PCOS monitor their risk for developing cardiovascular disease? What are the signs? What are we looking for?
Well, we know that PCOS is associated with inflammation, and it's not clear whether the inflammation that occurs is a cause of blood vessel damage or a sign of blood vessel damage. But we tend to look at things like the lipids, cholesterol, and LDL or bad cholesterol is a marker for insulin resistance. HDL cholesterol is a marker for exercise, and that can often be improved by exercise and reduced cardiovascular risk. And triglycerides are a sign that diet needs to be worked on to improve all the cardiovascular risk factors. And then in certain cases, we'll look at various cytokines, which are inflammatory markers from white blood cell, that would put an individual at risk. But it's also a time when someone makes a diagnosis of PCOS to really take the time and work with a skilled dietitian. And unfortunately, not every dietitian really understands PCOS, insulin resistance, and preventing diabetes and heart disease. One thing that PCOS Challenge does has identified, and it's really been a joy at the seminars to meet some of these people who've dedicated their life to exploring and understanding and teaching about healthy diets for PCOS.
Yeah, you know, we've been excited to have experts such as yourself, because there really are few physicians, healthcare providers who really understand PCOS and really understand how to treat PCOS and how to advise women to manage the condition. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One, because of be it financial pressures, time pressures, or the like, physicians often will focus on the particular presenting complaint and not step back and look at how a condition may affect them now but may affect the person in 10 years. The other factor is that with PCOS, it's really not a one-size-fits-all condition, and that's also a one-physician-fits-all. So to really manage PCOS, it involves a team of experts. It involves knowing about exercise, getting involved, maybe working with a trainer who understands the specifics of this condition for the exercise component, working with a skilled dietitian. It may be a sleep study, sleep lab, that understands that women with PCOS are more likely to have sleep disturbances that can play a role in worsening the PCOS symptoms. So it's bringing that together. That's important. The other side of this is most of the conditions that we train about fit into one area. If you have a heart attack or heart problems, you're going to go to a cardiologist. If you have a skin condition, you're going to go to a dermatologist. If you have a bad knee, you go to an orthopedist. If you have PCOS, you know, you need to see 8 different types of doctors to really get a full evaluation and understanding of the condition. And PCOS just doesn't follow the rules. It didn't go to medical school and understand, you know, we have this nice little box over here. And as such, you need a team of experts and maybe more than one physician. So the best results, I think, come when you have a physician who's really put together that team or in a program that brings all those resources together in one place.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And so before we forget, Dr. Perlow, could you please give our listeners your contact information so that they'd be able to contact you after they listen to this show?
Sure. They can visit us on the website at IVF.com or Facebook.com GRS. And then the other thing that we have that's is great is bit.ly, and that's all capital letters after that, /GRS_PCOS. And that's a website with 30 different videos, tips, for each day during PCOS Awareness Month. So those are all good ways to kind of reach out and connect.
Great. Thank you so much for all the great work that you've been doing in the field of PCOS. Okay, so earlier we mentioned about the risk factors. So now, what are your specific or suggested strategies for preventing and managing cardiovascular disease in women with PCOS?
Well, one of the, you know, there's so many myths about PCOS, but one of them is that cardio exercise protects the heart. And that really just isn't true. Cardio or aerobic exercise is going to increase endurance and allow you to exercise longer at greater intensity. But it is strength training and building muscle that is so important for reducing cardiovascular risk. So that's the first thing, is re-educating people. In fact, there was one very interesting study done by an individual in South Carolina and his partner up in Quebec that divided people into two groups. One group did an hour to an hour and a half of aerobics 5 days a week. The other group did one strength training session once a week. And what they found is the group with the strength training did better. The group that did aerobics felt pretty good about themselves because they were burning 450 calories a day. But the muscles, which are the primary tool for removing sugar from the bloodstream, they've got about 15 to 20 minutes of fast, rapid energy, and after that, they start breaking down protein. So the group that was doing sessions an hour or longer on aerobics actually lost muscle mass. So that was going to be harder to lose weight. So they were burning 450 calories a day, but at the end of 6 to 7 weeks, their body was telling them, you don't need as many calories. They kept their calories the same, and as a result, they didn't lose weight. They had less muscle mass available to remove sugar from the bloodstream, so their cholesterol went up and their insulin went up, making PCOS worse. On the other hand, the group that did the strength training exercises, and these are fairly intense workouts, but that group ended up putting on 7 pounds of muscle. So they work out one day a week, burn 450 calories, but because they had 7 pounds more of muscle, every other day they sat on the couch and they still burned 450 calories a day more and came up with 2 pounds of weight loss a week. As a result, they had greater muscle mass. Their cholesterol and insulin went down. So cardio protection from the standpoint of exercise is more strength training than it is aerobic exercise. So that's one tip. The second is diet. I mean, the rise in the incidence of PCOS has very clearly paralleled the information from all the large organizations that said you needed to have a low-fat diet and cut the fat and replace it with carbs, And man, we just had the worst policy for generating PCOS and diabetes and heart disease. We now understand that saturated fats are in moderation, okay? It's trans fats, it's the vegetable fats that are, and the omega-6s, that are out of balance in our diet and increase inflammation. So the anti-inflammatory component of the diet is very important. Along with that, we'll use antioxidants. There's one called NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which both improves insulin resistance, but it protects against oxidizing the cholesterol, which is a first step in building vascular plaques that would cause cardiovascular disease. And then there are plenty of resources on the dietary aspect, but diets that cut out the carb, cut out processed carbs, even refrain from the whole grain carbs may be better, and then not being afraid about eggs and meat and beef and fish and shellfish. Those things actually do a pretty good job and keep the inflammation part of this in check. So, you know, a lot of what we've been told and believed for the longest time is just dead wrong.
Erroneous. And it's interesting. Every 10 years, 5-10 years or so, there's some new, I don't know, something trendy, some trendy way to lose weight. And people who are desperate to lose the weight fall prey to some of these, fad diets, et cetera. But I do remember people still talk about low fat, no fat. Mm-hmm. It's been ingrained. What specifically are we looking for? What is the simplest change we can make in our diet today?
Well, cookies, cakes, pasta, potatoes. I think it is Rachel Brandeis who tells about walking around the outside of the grocery store and skipping the baked goods session, but nuts and beans and greens and fish and shellfish and meat are all good. One of the things I think is really important is during farmer's market season to go to a farmer's market and get to meet the people who are making your food and changing the relationship about food. So you're not eating because you have to, but you're getting involved in the creation of the food, and there's as much satisfaction from making the meal as there is in eating it. And that,
right. So you're saying eat actual foods that grow from trees or out of the ground, and not in boxes and bags.
If you go to the labels and read the stuff that go into a lot of the foods we eat, I mean, I have no idea what much of that stuff is. There's a big trend now, and I think that people get confused in that, and that is the blender, using fruit and greens and stuff in a blender, and then juicing, and I think those are very different. I heard one speaker say once that God made fruit so that we would get enough fiber into our diets. And if you're just using a juicer, you're getting rid of the good stuff. Okay. If you're using a blender and making shakes out of it, you can do a lot better at getting the whole nutrition.
Right. Okay, great advice. All right, so what about the risks associated with hormone, contraceptive pills, shots, et cetera? Do these further increase the risk of cardiovascular disease in women with PCOS who are already at higher risk?
The evidence isn't entirely clear, but my concern is more how they're used. Women with PCOS are going to frequently have very high triglyceride levels, and that's a contraindication to the birth control pills. So that has that's a significant concern. The other concern I have is that for many women, the irregular or abnormal or heavy periods are their main concern, and they get on the birth control pill and they forget that the underlying disorder is still there, and if they have hyperinsulinemia, they're still going to gain weight. They're still going to have the vascular damage. They're still going to lose beta cells in the pancreas and end up with diabetes later on in life. So I think part of the problem is, okay, I took care of my PCOS because I got on birth control pills. That's just false.
Well, thank you for that. So many doctors believe that birth control pills are first line of defense against PCOS.
And a young woman whose androgens aren't elevated and the insulin, two-hour insulins, because the fasting sugar and insulin is really one of the last signs that there's a problem. We like to look at the insulin and glucose 2 hours after a glucose load, and that gives you a pretty good idea of where someone stands. Also looking at hemoglobin A1C. Those are important. And in a young woman, regulating the cycles with the birth control pills may be very effective and helpful and provides contraception, but that doesn't mean you ignore the underlying insulin and metabolic disorders with PCOS.
Okay. So are there special considerations or recommendations for lean women with PCOS? This group of women with PCOS feel very left out because the advice that's usually touted is weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. Or this is what how they perceive advice about PCOS. So I read once that lean women with insulin resistance and all these risk factors probably fare worse than heavier women with these risk factors. Any comments
so,
on that?
Yeah, and I agree with you entirely. People do not take it seriously. Like, in terms of fertility treatment, it's kind of a different approach because these are the people who are going to provide many, many eggs. And metformin usually is associated with weight loss, and many of the people will have a problem with additional weight loss. So in that group, we tend to use ovacetol, which is a mixture of myo-inositol and D-chiro-inositol, and that seems to be as effective as metformin in restoring ovulation and addressing insulin resistance. So I think the same criteria of strength training is important because that's going to clear lower insulin and clear improve carbohydrate clearance from the blood. The dietary stuff is important. And instead of choosing metformin and focusing on the weight loss, it's going to be something like ovacetol. And then looking at inflammatory responses, potentially cytokines like TNF-alpha, and then C-reactive protein, which is a kind of generalized marker for inflammation. Those things help because we'll often see those inflammatory responses present.
Okay. All right, and I'll try to get through as many of the questions that I have. I also have some listener questions. I'll try to get to at least one. But are there also certain heart risks for women with PCOS during pregnancy?
I'm not specifically aware of that. What I'll tell you is that frequently C-reactive protein is elevated in the women with PCOS. That seems to be associated with vascular disturbances in the placenta, so that it makes preeclampsia, high blood pressure in the latter part of the pregnancy, and placental insufficiency more frequent. So, you know, that in that realm, you're going to see more disturbance when the woman gets pregnant. But what we have found, if you get into the pregnancy, taking care of your health, eating right, not giving up on the diet, which is hard to do sometimes because of pregnancy-associated nausea, but in some women, continuing metformin or Avastatol through the pregnancy can really help reduce risk of complications.
Okay. And so also, you touched on this earlier about as women age. So as women age with PCOS, what are do the risk factors for developing cardiovascular disease even more?
Well, I mean, I think there's a progression as a person ages, but I do think that the majority of people are going who can take this seriously will stop it. You know, you continue to lose beta cells, which produce insulin from the pancreas. If you reduce the inflammation, if you reduce the triglycerides, you're going to empower the pancreas to do a much better job. So I'm not sure you're curing it, because I think there's an underlying genetic risk, but I think you can manage it in such a fashion that, you know, this is a risk to me. I've got it. It's under control. It shouldn't bother me. You know, if you can bring that CRP down, C-reactive protein, from 23 to 2 or 3, I think you've done a dramatic job in reducing cardiovascular risk.
Well, and I'm sure you're familiar with the diabetes prevention program, where, you know, that big study where they
Right.
had different arms. It showed that the group that was, well, firstly, lifestyle was more effective than metformin in reducing the risk or preventing.
The problem was, the problem was they looked at one area at a time. And I think there's additive benefits. Unfortunately, you don't have a metformin and a lifestyle. If you get on metformin and don't exercise and don't eat right, metformin isn't going to do anything. If you have PCOS and you get on extended-release metformin, it's probably not going to make a difference for you. So I think it's important that you don't pick and choose, and that's unfortunately what happens in a lot of the research studies. They didn't have the right arm where they combined metformin and lifestyle changes, but it's necessary to do. It's necessary
to
do.
But a lot of women, well, I've met with a lot of women who also think of metformin as, I don't know, a magic pill. It works, you know, they drop the weight, and not necessarily everyone adopts the lifestyle changes that, you know, that are necessary for PCOS management, but they look at metformin as a magic pill.
Well, so I mean, I lost 18 pounds when I started taking it. For me, it was a magic pill. My blood pressure came down, my cholesterol got a lot better, and my doctor said it wasn't enough. He says, you know, I need to get you out there moving. And I started doing that, and I went to a cooking school for heart-healthy cooking, and it was a great nutrition course put on by Harvard School of Public Health and Culinary Institute of America, and got to a point of really enjoying cooking. So you can make all the changes, and you will get the best results. You know, metformin may be getting you what you need in terms of that one aspect of whether it's losing weight or regulating your cycles and getting pregnant, but I think it's important not to ignore the whole range of things you can do, because you may be getting a regular cycle now, but it may not be lowering your C-reactive protein, which means later in life your chance of diabetes will be greater.
Well, excellent points, Dr. Perlow. And unfortunately, we have run out of time. I didn't get to touch on topics such as depression and sleep, which is something you're passionate about, is sleep. However, I think you raised great points. Let's leave our listeners with, again, just how to prevent cardiovascular disease as a woman with PCOS?
Well, I think the best approaches are a low glycemic diet, that is a low inflammatory diet, a strength training exercise, and an insulin sensitizer, whether it's metformin, whether it's Actos, which we tend not to use much, or whether it is Ovacytol. All those various approaches are important. And then if there's depression, sleep disorders, fatigue, looking at whether there is sleep apnea as well, because that can be a significant component to creating the problems that we see in women with PCOS.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Perlow, for joining us on the PCOS Challenge Radio Show and speaking about PCOS heart health, a very important topic for women with PCOS and all women and everyone. So thank you so much for sharing your insights about this topic. And we look forward to having you back on the PCOS Challenge Radio Show again soon.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Ati. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.